Well, Raven is at work and or busy being a father. Gar decided to go on yet another spiritual journey to Dunville. And Lane is just sick. So, I guess it's just me today. Boy, this is going to be an exciting episode.
Surprise!
Oh, hi, Chris.
Oh, no!
Hey, I'm back again, bitches. I brought this fucking guy. I just ran into him on the street.
I decided to eavesdrop on whatever it is. What are we doing?
We're doing a podcast.
I've just been here the whole time. You didn't notice.
It's a lie. We deceived you. They totally were here during extra. The bit is ruined. Cue the roll call.
It was ruined before it was written. Let's just go. Let's move on. By the way, I was sitting here the whole time in case anyone was too dense to figure that out.
All right, Kellum.
Now cue the roll call!
We're live!
Zenkaigan!
Connect.
Loading.
Broadcast.
Equipment wielder. Bluecaster. Cheetah's a zeal.
One little spark of courage. Dreamcaster. Global Storm Perga.
Are you ready?
Either I'm here or I'm not. Quantum Caster.
Completely derailing the topic, Savage Caster.
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet.
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
On air!
Welcome one and all to episode 168 of Radio Sentai Cast Ranger.
Next week is the big one.
Wait, you had me on for the one before the big one?
You can be on next week if you want.
Oh, okay.
I just thought we'd have you on this week because this week our feature topic is Sea Shit, a.k.a. Cho Superhero Tyson. If you abbreviate it, it spells C-S-H-T, so it's Sea Shit.
You're reaching.
No, I'm sure I'm not the only one to make that joke.
Okay.
Because the Tyson movies have been called Shit, because S-H-T, Shit, and then Super Tyson Z was Shits, and then the GP one was Shit Gip.
Then what do we call the ghost Leonardo da Vinci movie?
Straight Shit.
Okay.
Get on with it.
All right. So this week, in addition to our feature topic of Sea Shit, we are talking about Build Episode 4 and Q Ranger Episode 31. And yes, it's Episode of Riot Dose, because that meme will never die. I'll see you guys at Episode Mars Shadow. 802. Mars Shadow is out next month, finally. I'll be able to have all Pokemon until they release the new Ultra Beasts!
Yep.
Cool.
Alright, so...
which one are we talking about first?
We're talking about Build.
Oh yeah, Building a Mystery.
So, before we talk about the episode proper, if you'll allow me to hog the spotlight for a little bit, I went back yesterday and rewatched episodes 1 to 4 of Build, because one of our commenters noticed, well, this is what set me off to do so, but Dan Camp on our Facebook page told me that apparently the subs, TV Nihon subs for episode 3, mistranslated the line where Sento says, what he actually says is that he originally built the Build driver to be Build, and then added the functionality of detecting best matches later. Apparently, TV Nihon flipped that around, and they said that
it made it really illogical.
He had originally built the driver just to detect best matches and added the build transformation function later, which I commented was kind of insulting for a rider origin, which turned out to be not the case. So I decided to go back and rewatch episodes 1 to 4, and I've built up a list of mysteries, plot holes, inconsistencies, and just what-the-fuck moments that I wanted to go over real quick. So anyone who is watching Build, which I guess would be everyone listening, can take note of all these and rewatch them yourself if you want, and join me in my rage and confusion.
You building up a list?
Yep, that you are not the first person to make that joke this week.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so there was commentary, especially this week, on how the Pandora box had like the green panels that shot off. But if you look at it before and after, it looks like it's the same size. It doesn't look any wider or less wide. So I think those panels are, like, respawning or, like, regenerative.
Like it's shedding its skin?
Kind of, but then it's the same. It, like, respawns them. If Sento dropped the matchbook during his first battle in range for Sawa to see it, which would mean he unhinged and basically in front of her. Now, I'm willing to put it that he did it because he assumed she was unconscious, because we see a shot where she, like, seems to pass out, but then she gets back up. But the problem there is Sento is such a fuckwit that he decided to not turn his fucking head slightly over to check if she was still unconscious before unhinging and dropping the matchbook like a fucking idiot.
But, like, are you secretly conscious? You have to tell me if you are.
It's entrapment.
Yep. You cap.
Sento got jigglypuffed in the first episode. How and by who? Because technically the sequence of events that would have had to have happened was Sento puts Misora in the machine. Misora is locked in the machine. Sento goes to sleep. Sento wakes up jigglypuffed before Misora comes out of the machine. Who jigglypuffed Sento?
Was it the owner?
Was it? I don't know.
It might have been. Maybe he was trying to start something.
I hope you don't discover my secret history. Misora makes a comment on her way out about wanting to get paid. I don't think she actually gets paid because Sento can't pay her, especially since he can't pay his own rent. There is only one bed in this place. I hope one of them sleeps elsewhere.
I think I
hope they share a bed.
I think the boss sleeps elsewhere.
No, I mean, like, there's Sento, Misora, and Soichi. So, we've seen Sento in that bed, and we've seen Misora in that bed. So, whose bed is it actually?
Whose bed is it anyway?
Could be both.
Tabashima?
When the Skywall disaster happens, all three of the eventual leaders of each area are on that one side, which means that at some point, the two of the three leaders decided, you know what, I'm going to rule that one, and then just boated their way around.
Well, that one's easy. They all just... Dibs!
Dib, yeah. The international
Maybe
dibs.
It was just a happy coincidence. That's how the country got divided.
The International Dibs Protocol. They just tapped the wall and went, dibs.
Yeah. Mine!
I may have asked during our discussion of episode 1 of Build why Sento went after Kazooie. That's what I call Ryuga because Banjo.
Oh.
I might have been questioning why he went after him, but it was because he was giving off a smash signal because he was going to be experimented on. Here's a question. Where did Sento get the name Smash from? The monsters certainly don't talk. He must have got it from Isarugi and Misora, who we now know are basically ex-Faust agents. In that case, where the hell did Sawa get it from, the reporter lady? How would she know that they're called Smash?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe that's just what they've been calling them. Maybe it leaked out somewhere.
It's usually in the media that names shit like that.
It's never explicitly stated, but I think the reason the government is after Build is because he helped Kazooie
probably
escape.
Probably avoid the DS.
At least the publicly known reason that the government is treating Build as a criminal is because he helped Ryuga escape, because other than that, like, he is fighting monsters, so...
They could say he's an undocumented immigrant on their side of the wall.
Maybe.
Topical there.
Yeah.
Not like they couldn't blend in either way, but...
Near the end of episode 1, Gentoku makes a comment that he doesn't need toys that break this easily. Not only does this indicate that he has some shit going on, but... If Nariaki isn't Bloodstark like we thought he was, because hearing Bloodstark's voice, that's probably not Nariaki. At least from this comment, we can confirm that Nariaki is in on the whole Faust deal. Here's a question. Why the fuck does the Skywall have ramps? The one that Bill drove up at the end of episode 1?
For 6 stunts, that's why.
It's the Deus Ex Machina Expressway.
When Bill... goes down the wall, you see him, like, jam the crusher into it, and you see him, like, actually start to make a carving into the wall. If Build can break through the Skywall, why doesn't he just completely do that? Like, break all the way through the wall!
Well, he would ask Saf, he would have to get permission from Ronald Reagan for that.
Maybe he has to be in the right mood, I don't know.
Bring that wall
down! It's an emotional
down.
State thing.
Here is a good question. Why was Kazooie's fly actually down? Like,
he was peeing at some point, right?
While he was in the tank? Maybe that was, like...
Let's just say Japanese tanks don't have bathrooms.
The thing is, he... Okay, it's safe to say he didn't unzip himself willingly.
Just how his pants are.
Faust put those clothes on him because those obviously aren't his clothes. Which means some asshole at Faust decided to play a prank on him and put pants on him and leave them unzipped.
Have you ever wore pants? Sometimes the zipper goes down.
Maybe it's a defect. It's an optical illusion. You know, he's got to return them to the pants store.
It would be a villainous prank.
I've seen some people on Facebook think that Gentoku isn't Night Rogue because you see him in a civilian form at the car and then standing as Night Rogue on the top of the wall at the end of the first episode.
Yes, because they can't change really quick or jump.
Also, we've seen in other episodes that Night Rogue can use steam to teleport. So, fuck those people.
Yeah. There's a picture of his fucking fly on that.
Yeah, and it's a dimension gate to Helheim.
God.
That's been a whole meme the whole first week of the show.
You know what I don't miss from Gaim? That fucking zipper sound.
I was okay
I
with it.
It was cool. I'm sorry.
It's also, you know what I don't miss from Xaid? The fucking weird shee sound from everything.
Yeah. So now that we know that Isurugi Soichi is a former Faust agent, it's really odd that he was so quick to suggest that Kazooie might know where Faust is based. Like, if Sento discovers Faust's base, it's safe to say he's going to find out about him, but he doesn't seem that interested in covering it up. We have seen no proof in 4 episodes that Sawa is actually writing her article about Build. Kazooie, in one of the episodes, said that he wouldn't attack Misora because she's just a child, and then he chained her to her fucking wall in episode 3.
Well, that's not attacking.
Could be with something he's into.
That's kidnapping. See, that's
I don't know.
Maybe they're both having a bondage fetish thing. You know, they're just sharing.
I've heard that joke.
You know, like, hey, I did you do me now.
You didn't hurt her. That's the point.
There's been
it's tied up like old school, old timey villain style around the shoulders.
There's been some evidence that the Guardian robots do not actually have cameras or transmit their visual data to the government because there's a lot like, why hasn't Sento been found out? Except in episode 3, it is episode 2, I think, we see an actual news report from the perspective of a Guardian robot. So we know for a fact that Guardians are keeping surveillance footage through their faces and transmitting them to the government, which means because of the multiple instances where Build and Sento have been together, like, in episode 2... Build goes behind those rocks or whatever, and then when the robots come around the corner, it's just Sento, and then the robots are too stupid to piece together that it's him, but now that we know that they actually do transmit their data to Faust, this is the first in a series of evidence. My theory is that Gentoku actually knows that Sento is Build, and he's just fucking with him.
Ultimately, there's another side of the coin. First of all, I don't know if they... It's not necessarily mean that they transmit it. Mean that maybe they download it. So in which case, if they get destroyed, they might lose some of the data. B, it's also the fact that how many of these things are out at a time. Maybe that the fact that it's just some random dude on the docks, it just got archived. It didn't go straight to somebody who's just checking them will download and goes, oh, there's some guy there.
But
the right person who would recognize him didn't happen to see it.
With all those robots that were chasing him, you'd think that they'd find the footage in one of them.
Well, you're telling me that he's checking them, every one of them, for every person they look
at? This is the government. They could have staff to do that.
The government actually found someone they're looking for.
Hurrah!
Sento's not exactly on the, like, you know, like the watch list.
So. No, but Build is, and that's why.
Yeah.
In episode 2, Ryuga goads Misora into making a bottle so he can escape, but the problem is she puts in a blank bottle that doesn't have a smash element in it because it doesn't have the web on it. So what the fuck was she actually doing?
That's a good question.
I think she was halfway through it. She was like, hey, wait a minute.
That's also when we talk about that episode, we also talk about the fact that whatever bottle that turned out to be never happened because later they go back and make the dragon bottle using the element from the burn smash. And yeah, apparently that was the burn smash, not the dragon smash or the fire smash. The smash have names different from their bottle versions.
I want there to be a version from Xaid where it's the brothers, so it'd be Smash Brothers.
Next. Nobody... Like, I get it was a government cover-up, but apparently no one involved with the murder of Katsuragi checked the DNA on that knife that stabbed him. If Ryuga still has that bike that he stole, sorry, Kazooie, if Sento could track that bike like he did in episode 1, why can't the government?
That's a good question, too.
About Hazard, which they mentioned during the Burn Smash, based on what I'm reading, it's not really clear if Hazard is a special gas that was added to Kasumi, or if Hazard is just referring to the gas that they use in the production of all Smash, and Kasumi in particular was just a weak human to begin with. When Build switched to Sojiki to vacuum up the fire, for some reason he switches to Rabbit, even though he switches to Gorillamon seconds later. There was no reason to switch to Rabbit. How did Sento know that the whole Gorillamon diamond purifying trick would work on Kasumi? Did this happen to someone else? It could have, because he's got lots of bottles, so he's done this before.
I'm wondering how many answers are in the comment section right now. I'm just, sorry.
One thing that's still unexplained that probably will be is how Soichi transmuted that fucking tablet into a crowbar.
And that will probably be answered, right?
I have some guesses on that, which I'll get into. When Mitan does her fucking idol shtick, like, there's a shot where she, like, leans off camera and, like, pours an eye drop into her eye to make it look like she's crying. Except if you look real close at that shot, she misses her eye completely.
She's bad at WarioWare.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was stupid.
Not really a plot hole, but I thought it was worth mentioning that Kazooie is a gigantic dickbag to think that searching for Nabushima is more important than actually saving people. Like, I get Faust fucked up your life, but goddamn, we can do this whenever. It's not like you're being hunted, even though you fucking well should be. There's formulas in every episode name, except episode 3 was just episode N equals 3, you lazy assholes. Mr. Bat Dad decides that the fugitive Kamen Rider, whose only crime was helping another fugitive escape, is apparently a bigger concern than the Smash.
He also is a dude in a superhero suit that apparently can kill people with math. I don't know about you, but that seems like something you might want to get.
He hasn't killed anyone with the math yet.
Well, he's killed Smashes.
Well, yeah, but those are monsters.
Yeah, I want to stop that from using that on children, or going to your house, or the White House.
Great. It's fucking Civil War all over again. But my point is, because the Smash are not a concern to Mr. Bat Dad, I'm pretty sure he's in on Faust.
Now I can't see him as anything other than that dude who puts on the Batman mask and talks to his kids.
The Bat Dad!
Can somebody in the comments pull up a picture of Bat Dad just for my own amusement?
The Hawk Smash is apparently the Flying Smash, based on TV Asahi's website, for noting. Has that fight where Sawa, like, chimes off his catchphrases and annoys him, I'm not sure how she knows that, because I don't think he said those around her, but whatever. Wrong Bat Dad.
No, that's the right one.
Oh, I thought you meant the one from South Park.
No, that's Bat Dad.
Okay. So... There you go. There's the right one.
Yeah, no,
the Bat Dad. Okay.
I meant the Vine guy.
The wall panel that turned out to be part of the Pandora box. I'm pretty sure. I think I called that in an earlier episode of Cast Ranger.
I didn't.
So that panel has slots for 5 best matches, but we know that there are more. So now I'm wondering, does each panel require a certain set of best matches, which at this point I will refer to as the plot matches. I have more evidence to this because when he put Rabbit in the wall, it lit up, and then he put Tank in, and that lit up as a best match, but when he put Hawk Gatling, another best match, in, it didn't light up on the wall. So, Hawk Gatling might not be a plot match, at least not for this panel. But we know there's a second panel that Night Rogue has, which means maybe it's a plot match for that panel. So yeah, the fact that best match detection was a thing added to the driver as an afterthought means that apparently when he first built it, they just used the bottles and it didn't identify best matches, which means it had to be Soichi who told him that best matches were even a thing, unless he just discovered that certain bottles work together through repeated use, which I could see happening because he has enough bottles that he's done this a few times. The other question is, if the panel on the wall can identify best matches, what is the point of making the driver do it? Is it just for the flair?
doing it in the field.
Yeah, if he finds them, he can just put them right in.
But he, how is he gonna, why would he have them, he can't, because he has to go back to the build pit to purify them. So there's no point where he's gonna have a bottle before bringing it to the lab where the wall is. Like, is it because the panel only identifies the plot matches, whereas the belt can identify all best matches? That's the only thing I can think of. The other question, which we've been on and off about all fucking show, is, you know how you can tell what is a best match? You look at the fucking label on the lid of the bottle! No one is doing it! Sento says he uses quantum physics to guess at best matches, but when he finished purifying Taka, he just puts Taka and Sojiki into the panel on a whim. Which actually I think is a good guess, because like, Taka for the ability to fly, and Sojiki because vacuuming. Flying and sucking. They're both sort of air themed, so I can see how those would be a best match. If you look closely at the bottles he has on the table, we can see that he also has the light bottle, which matches up with Octopus, which he does not have yet. When Misora...
This whole document, just things about build?
Not all. When Misora wakes up in episode 3 after not being told... After telling them not to wake up, she's like, oh, I'm gonna cut you, but I don't think she actually did anything, because there's no sign of that.
Okay, when you say you're gonna cut somebody, it doesn't mean that I'm gonna... you're actually gonna cut them.
Hey, what I'm building to is I'm pretty sure Soichi and Misora are Martians, so I wouldn't put it past them. Sento starts asking Gentoku about Nabushima, which, by their relationship, he would have no knowledge of Nabushima's existence aside from the involvement with Build, which is more evidence why I think Gentoku knows that Sento is Build and is fucking with him, because he did not react to Sento suddenly mentioning Nabushima, someone he was definitely in contact with. Since Night Rogue was with Nabushima during the call, they definitely purposely fed the info to Misora, which means Gentoku is in fact watching the Mitan Idol Show. Remember how I said Misora might be the rabbit smash because of all the rabbit imagery? I have more something else that might point to that. Her idol name is Mitan, which Mi, if it's referring to herself, and if she's the rabbit smash, then Mi is to rabbit, whereas Tan is to tank.
Oh.
Mitan, rabbit tank.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, I'm going all numerologist for this. If Kazooie broke the chains that he was tied up with, how the fuck did he tie Misora up with them? Misora is kind of a bitch, because she tells Sento that Kazooie went after Nabushima's family, but she didn't specify that it was to protect them, which means Sento thinks that Kazooie went to threaten them and use them as leverage against Nabushima. So Misora is kind of a side-playing bitch. Like, we see Ryuga wearing, like, normal clothes, but if he's a fugitive, how did he get those clothes? Why isn't his place being watched? Sento shoots the Hawk Gatlinger at a bunch of robots unhenshined, so there is no fucking way that the Guardians didn't transmit that to Gentoku. More evidence that Gentoku knows that Sento's built. When they say that Kazooie is a threat to other passengers on the boat, I was like, what other passengers? But I guess it's the rest of their family. The fact that the mom can remember that they're her family is proof that Smash memory loss is inconsistent in length, because Nabushima forgets his whole family, whereas this woman remembers her family. So now we're questioning what determines the length of how much memory is lost. My guess is it's tied to how long they are a Smash for. This woman was probably not a monster for long. Which means that Sento, having 21 years of memories gone, means he was probably a Smash for a long time. Can someone fucking tell me why security around the only way past the skywall, the hole where the boat went through, is so fucking lax that a smuggler boat can get through it?
I do not know.
So, as we can see from that shot, the height of the skywall is directly tied to the ground level, which means that they are actually just sitting on top of the ground. So what the heck is the status of the underground? If the skywall is only ground level up, why don't they just go underground and detonate the walls from underneath and get rid of them? And if Sento shooting the Gatlinger in front of all the robots wasn't enough proof, he actually henshins in front of them. I'd call Sento a fucking moron if it wasn't already far, far too late for that. Excuse me for a moment.
What Chris doesn't know is that I replaced all of his Diet Pepsi with Brio.
Ah! Pickles! The Ninja Smash is actually the Mirage Smash. I checked that. I'm sad that Hawk Gatling's debut didn't zoom into the belt like the other two ones.
It did have zooming into the bullets to show they were actually tiny hawks, though.
Yeah.
I'm still not over that.
If Sento created the equipment, I'd like to know where the voice came from. I tried to count the full bullet sequence. I'm not super confident that actually was 100 bullets.
Chris, do you think that maybe sometimes you're just looking things a little too close?
Yes. I'm almost done for episodes 1 to 3.
We're only at 1 to 3. We still have 4 to do.
Yep. How does Gentoku have the rocket bottle if Sento and Misora make them? Since Soichi is former Faust, it's safe to assume that he and Misora made bottles while they were with Faust, which means that they have their own version of the machine that Sento invented. Bloodstark also knows that Sento is billed, which we can see from episode 3. Yeah, that's my spiel. Sorry for the...
It's okay.
So we're not even to the point where we're talking about the episode. This is just Chris's gripes.
Yes. I'm sorry that took so long, but I had to get all that out.
That was a lot of preamble, man.
I love Kamen Rider, and this show is trying to be super dramatic and plot-filled, so it's got some shit to answer for. Okay, now episode 4. The recap starts with... I love that Kazooie's like, you shouldn't be talking if you're poisoned. Shut up and pass out.
No, you can talk while you're in horrific pain. Those aren't mutually exclusive.
Soichi apparently found Sento in the field, which I guess he can track him, that makes sense, and dragged him back to his bed. Something funny I noticed is that the maps of Japan have been updated for the three regions that they're now divided into. I guess at some point in the last 10 years, the cartographers gave up hope that the wall was ever going to come down.
Was it going to be like a Korea thing where it's East Japan, West Japan, North Japan?
No, they have names. It's Hokuto, Saito, and Toto.
And they sorry.
It might be, you know, the fact that, yes, we probably could think of ways to break the wall. But, like, man, we all have our own kind of monopolies going on here.
And they have their own currencies
on
each side.
The Koreans are
going to
break the wall. The Koreans are going to pay for breaking the wall. Keep going.
Do you have a list like this for the new episode of Kai Ranger, Key Ranger?
Not that obsessive. It's basically just a list of what happens.
He did say it wasn't obsessive.
I love Mitan whining about... Oh god, I'm just calling her Mitan casually now. I am so sorry.
Sounds like Mitt.
Misora. I love how she gets all whiny about having to do Mitan again. Please... Please don't make this an every episode thing. It's totally gonna be, but I don't want it to be.
What would be an every episode thing?
Doing Mitan to gather info.
Oh.
They probably will, but I don't want it.
There.
She's, I don't know, I think she's okay. Like, she's not too annoying.
God damn it.
Just, even unwilling, they just pull up that curtain on her and she just like, flips to an alternate persona, like a fucking light switch. For some reason, they're still showing the Hari Nezumi tank, like the hedgehog tank, in the opening instead of Hawk Gatling. I don't know why.
I miss Kiriko, just FYI.
We all do.
Can somebody in the chat group find me a sexy picture of Kiriko from Drive?
You just love abusing our fans.
I'm not abusing them, I'm involving them.
Sure. So Nabashima gets made into a Smash a second time. Previously he was the Mirage Smash, and now he is the Square Smash, which eventually will get made into the comic bottle. So now we know for sure that the form that they take as a Smash is not tied to their DNA, which means either Faust chooses what material to give them, which means where does that come from, or... Perhaps do they just inject hazard gas into them and the element is generated randomly? We don't know that yet. We do, however, confirm that one of Night Rogue's objectives is to create the ultimate life form, the ultimate smash.
Like Mewtwo?
Yes. My theory is they're trying to create the ultimate smash in order to smash the Skywall.
By the way, Cast Ranger fans are like the best fans. Like, seriously. I haven't seen those two. Like, damn.
That belongs in the Not Safe for Sentai chat.
I don't even.
We have a separate chat just for those images.
I instantly forgive them.
You can join our Discord and read all those.
What's the? Okay, am I old? I don't know what Discord is.
It's like Skype, but better.
Oh, okay.
Okay, damn. So, if Faust is trying to create the ultimate smash to smash the Skywall, this begs the question of what the fuck they need Sento around for. Like, all they're doing is sending monsters for him to kill for him to collect bottles. Whereas they could be making bottles actually, maybe they're doing it because Soichi defected. If they don't have Soichi and Misora to make bottles themselves, then they'll send monsters out for Build to create bottles with.
And then try to steal the bottles back?
Maybe.
The inevitable double cross.
Here's what I'm thinking. I think Pandora's Box is a game. The two panels that split off are the player pieces.
Was it like Jumanji?
Yes. I think the goal of this game is to assemble 5 best matches. The plot matches, as I've called them in my little rant up to now.
Dukes matchina.
So maybe if someone assembles all of the best matches, the wall will go down. And it's
That's
a game.
Interesting concept.
You know why else I think it's a game? Because Blood Stark says that he's the game master.
Well, that would explain
he's
why he's
the
said
newest
that, yeah.
Dan Kuroto.
He is Dan, reborn unto us.
Dan Stark.
Yeah. We see Sento has a tablet. Is that the one that Soichi alchemied, or did he turn it back, or does Sento just have his own? They're in the room with the Pandora box, and like when Sento's showing them the footage that he has, instead of us going somewhere private to talk about it, everyone who's currently guarding the Pandora's box, fuck off. Man, all that security. I wonder how Faust snuck in.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we need you to not do your job because we can't go talk in a different room.
But less than 5 minutes after Kentoku dismisses all the security around Pandora's box, Sento questions how Faust, quote-unquote, snuck past their security to steal the other Pandora's box panel. Wow, Sento, for being a genius physicist, you are a stupid fuck! So meanwhile, Sawa and Kazooie meet Nabushima's family, his wife who doesn't have a name, and his daughter Haruka, whose only trait is that she does cat's cradle.
She also has a silver spoon.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
Hangs out with the man in the moon.
They try to wheel them out in the box, which is hilarious by itself, but then the Faust version...
I like it works for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's like, we got
like,
this,
not
we got
long
this.
Enough
robots!
It's like, that's not gonna work, and it doesn't. How's that Brio treating you, Chris?
It's actually Diet Pepsi.
No. I didn't get to that one.
Yeah. But the funny thing is, like, Ryuga is also stupid, because he gets attacked by Faust versions of the Guardians, and not once does he think that maybe if Faust has the Guardian robots on their side as well, maybe they're connected to the government. A couple weeks ago, we talked about how funny it would be if the Guardians just got dunked in the water. And then we get this week, the one with the timer and the bomb.
The very generous timer.
Yeah, a minute is a lot of time for a bomb that they could easily just jump out of the van for. And then they pull the most amazing, sick, mad van jump off the pier and onto the boat. And the funniest thing about that is, one of the people doing the stunt is a small child who, before now, the most exciting thing in their life was fucking Cat's Cradle.
Yeah, and she was just like, yeah!
And now she's very excited to do death-defying extreme stunts.
Also, they did a 2-story drop onto an iron deck. I don't. Those are fucking superheroes.
Goodbye, their bones.
Yeah.
Why did I say it like that? That's not bad,
bones.
Bad grammar. Goodbye, their bones.
I love Facecore is trying to explain why Faust has the robots. The robots could be at the dollar store. Yes, I'd like about 100 robots, sir.
Yeah, I want some robots, but I don't want to pay that much.
Da, 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 da. Yeah, like cheap robots like
Bob's Discount Robots and car insurance.
Interesting fact, Soichi is afraid of bidets. that
you
was
ever
worth...
used a bidet, Chris?
No.
I don't think you'd like it.
I know what it is, but...
Like,
I mean, like, in concept, it sounds like a good idea. Like, a toilet that washes your ass for you.
Yeah, but I mean...
What doesn't sound good about that?
Well, there's water spraying in your bum.
So? It's clean.
Some people don't like that feeling.
It's
a little tickle of the bum.
Okay, I get it now.
Do those come in different sizes? They should.
Like bidets?
Yeah.
What if you go to, like, one that's, like, way too high and you end up, like, prolapsing?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lawsuit on people's hands. I guess it's just...
And up their butts.
Yeah.
Bidets were everywhere, though, man. Like, and if you go to Asian countries, I remember Sal talking about how bidets were everywhere. Now, he liked it. I remember him saying he liked... Well, who doesn't? Like, most people were literally like, man, you know what I... You know what I love about toilet paper...
You can control toilet paper?
Well, no, you ever get that, like, paper residue there, and you're like, oh, it's, like, paper mâché.
Whoa. So you just wipe it with more paper.
Yeah.
There you go. Problem solved. Put some water on it.
Anyways.
This conversation really veered off.
So
I was like, wait, was Todd talking about my asshole last week on Castridge?
So Soichi was apparently the astronaut who slammed Pandora's box and caused this whole mess.
Yeah, way to go.
Ah, well.
Good job, me. That's going to be a joke the whole year. So, like, literally on episode 2, Gar was like, Soichi is my favorite character, and I'm like, I am.
And he was,
I love at these pictures in the comment section.
Man, these guys are great.
Soichi doesn't want the water touching his full butthole.
Yep.
Oh my god, his full butthole.
So... One other thing I'm curious about, sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't, but when Bill does attention, you see, like, all the math flying around. Yeah. I'd like to know what determines whether that stuff happens or not. They won't tell us.
Maybe if he's just thinking about math at the time.
Sure.
I'd also like the camera to actually show me what those equations are so I have something to talk about.
If you paused it and looked real close, you'd be able to see.
The angle is weird.
Hey, Bill, what are you thinking about? Things? What kind of things? Math things?
I just want one episode... Which the opening supports my theory on this, where he just starts shaking the bottle, the math appears, and he just, like, starts psychokinetically wielding the math to just carve his enemies.
Math blade!
And if you look at the end of the opening, where the math smashes the fucking skywall, that might actually happen.
That would be crazy, actually.
Because, like, every writer show the last few years has had a scene in their opening that happens at the end of the series, so it could be that one. And I hope it is, because I want math to break the wall! It's so fucking stupid, but it's hilarious. So the Square Smash starts attacking and uses his powers of Minecraft.
Yep. And he obviously watched Duo Jerk.
Yeah.
Because he builds a bunch of cube stacks, and Lane immediately went, oh. And then we see Bloodstark pull out his rifle, and the call out for the Hisatsu one is Devil Steam. Get it? Because Faust made a deal with the devil.
I've had to spot some really bad games.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
But apparently that attack grows the Square Smash to Oguma Sky Blue size, although I was kind of hoping it would go full Megazord size, but it didn't.
Yeah.
And Build's response is, oh no, a giant monster whose caliber I've never fought before. Better switch to a not best match form. He switches to Rabbit Gatling, and like, it's cool that he's dual-wielding the Crusher and the Hawk Gatlinger, but I'm kind of sad that it didn't actually gattle rabbits like I was joking about last week.
Yeah.
Maybe it did, and we just didn't see. Who knows?
Yeah.
Which at that point, I started wondering a thing. So all the full bottles are referred to by their Japanese name, and the best matches have the English name. So why the fuck isn't the rabbit bottle the Usagi bottle? But
the rabbit tank sounds better than Usagi.
Yeah, for the best match, but why is the bottle called the rabbit full bottle instead of the Usagi full bottle?
I don't know. Everything.
I don't know. There's too many questions. So we see Bloodstark, and he starts talking to Build, and based on his voice, I don't think it's Nariaki. Because when Bloodstark was first announced, we were pretty sure that it was going to be him. You know, Gentoku's aide, the glasses guy who looks like Spectre and brain fucked.
I think it's Ichi.
So you think it's Soichi?
Yeah. It's you.
It doesn't sound like it. His voice is different. It's almost like a Japanese Bane.
I don't know. Oh, wizard. I wish you were cool.
So Kazooie uses Dargon power to jam the crusher into Square right into Square's ass.
Am I the only one that sees the banana sword whenever I see that thing?
Oh, the banana spear?
Yeah.
No, I'm absolutely right there on the same page with you. I don't like it. So he switches to Hawk Gatling, and for some reason another copy of Gatling appears in like the Ride Builder frame behind him, which is really weird because when he switched to Gorillamond after already having Gorilla in episode 3, the copy of Gorilla that appeared in front of him wasn't another copy of Gorilla, it was just like a clear, hazy nothing. So now I don't even understand how their special effects work. If Sento is just going to use Full Bullet every time he uses Hawk Gatlinger's finisher, why the fuck did he design it to require 10 spins?
For effect, I guess.
So Nabushima gets defeated again and wakes up without memories of Kazooie or even his own family. So, while the theory of how much memory is lost is probably based on time as a smash, getting a second dose could probably multiply or even exponentially multiply the effect, which is a pretty good explanation for why he's lost so many memories. Proceed to have his daughter do very, very sad Cat's Cradle. Oh. I'm kind of surprised that the whole, like, yeah, you gotta remember your family, you gotta do it, that whole trope actually did not work.
Yeah, that's the Comrader 101.
So Sento instead uses science to tear up the girl.
So that's his answer for everything.
Yeah. That was cute, actually. That was a really nice scene.
Science!
So, and then Sawa says she's going to bring the family somewhere safe. Somewhere safe? In this setting? Where is safe? And if so, why do you know where that is? Miss Reporter Lady.
Probably just going to bring her over to her house.
Wouldn't surprise me. No one will look for you there! For all we know, Night Rogue has Nabushima permanently bugged, and he could be listening to them right now. Who knows? So we see that Night Rogue has his own panel, and Nabushima saw the panel with bottles in it, which means maybe they have full bottles other than Rocket. And also, Night Rogue put Rocket in the wrong slot in that one shot.
Oh, Comrade Heart!
Yeah, someone posted a picture of Comrade Heart.
Oh man, that's my cover photo on Facebook right now. Not that photo of him, but love Comrade Heart.
Yeah, so everything else I had to say about the episode is stuff I've gone on about. So my theory going forward is that the Pandora's box is a game, the panels are the playing pieces, and the goal is to assemble the best matches in order to break the wall. So, does anyone else have any other theories about the show so far?
I think that's a really good one, actually.
I'm sorry I've been hogging the spotlight, but I had a lot to get out there.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm actually glad that you guys are here, because if Lane and Gar and Raven were here, they'd probably be not so receptive to my theories.
Yeah, it would be kind of an argument.
I was playing Pokemon, and I was having fun with the chat.
Yeah.
That was fun. I want to give them a challenge. Do you guys want a challenge to see if you can find something for me on Google or Ryder stuff? Who wants a challenge?
Noble says yes.
All right. So, I want you to find me... This is ghost-related. I want you to find me the girl, a picture of the girl, possessed by Himiko.
Himiko.
I remember
Himiko.
That.
Because she was, like, stunning with those contacts in.
5,
yeah.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Rangers in space? If you would like to participate in these random Discord games, make sure to tune into our Discord Friday nights when we...
Are you making a fresh meme? Like, are you making a brand new fresh meme for us?
If it takes 5 minutes, I would hope so.
Is it based on something we've said today?
I want to see a fresh meme.
I want the fresh memes.
Wait, what?
Because if somebody can make a meme based on something stupid I said today...
It's based on Ryuki.
Like, if somebody can make...
Well, I mean, we're halfway there. It's based on something stupid.
Oh yeah, there we go.
Oh yeah, she was good.
Yeah, she was pretty cute. Even Victoria. Okay, so my girlfriend comes around as I'm watching it, and she goes, "Who's that?" And I said, "Oh, it's a girl possessed by Himiko." And she's like, and this is my girlfriend who's like, you know, 5'1". She's like, "I'd do her." She walks. We're also like in out in public.
Alright, so next week on Kamen Rider Build, we get to meet someone who apparently knows about Sento's past, which apparently involves him being in a band.
Being in a band?
And we also see the debut of Nin Nin Comic Form, which I am excited for.
That's
going to
be cool.
Q-Ranger!
Who's really tired?
I love Q-Ranger. I only started watching it a week ago, though.
Alright.
Oh, I have a challenge for somebody to make a meme. I want somebody to make me a really lame-ass, like, little photo of Poppy, and just make it look really shitty and have it be Pilly Polio.
Pilly Polio, yeah.
I want like a poster or a character thing of Pilly Polio.
If anyone would like context on that, listen to this week's Extra Extra Cast Ranger.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
No, don't re-explain it. Make them go watch it.
Pilly Polio is
go to the link that is. Is there gonna be a link on the screen?
Probably not. Just look up Extra Cast Ranger episode 102.
Pilly Polio.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the episode starts with, I'm positive we defeated Don Armage, lol, even though none of the previous attempts have been successful.
Friggin' Pilly Polio.
There's almost like a self-help group now of, like, people who thought they killed Don Armage.
Yeah.
Like, I used my immortality and I fucking, you know, Kamehameha'd him, but he came back.
Oh yeah, well I used the super form that I just got and I summoned like the stars.
Space Shogun comes back the very next day. Thought he was a gone, and then 300 years ago or 300 more years he shows up.
You know what was really insulting, I think, and Lane would definitely agree? I don't know why not at one point during this episode someone decided, I wonder what happened to Sho Wanpo and Champ who got left behind in the past. Maybe we should check on them!
Maybe we'll do it next week after the fucking appliances attack us.
Oh, God. Kotaro and Garu apparently got caught and were imprisoned in Ryoma's lab from Gaim.
Yeah, that was in...
And Hame got away, though, so she could say, you know, look at this on the screen! It's Game of Thrones spoilers! Look out!
Echidna's still hanging around. Help me kill your friend, you guys.
Yeah, they seem.
I don't know why.
Useless now.
I don't know why they're letting her hang around. She's planning on killing Naga.
It was Pilly Polio. Pilly.
Poplio.
No. The joke name was Pilly hyphen Polio. Polio.
Got polio.
Pilly Polio.
Human legs.
That, what happened, if you want the context behind
it. No, they helped us watch the extra episode.
Yeah.
It's someone called Poppy that on Reddit by accident.
Yeah.
I just
they can edit that out.
But that's not the whole story. There's
okay,
more,
anyways. So Echidna fights Heavy Metal, which that's what I'm calling Heavy Sky Metal for short, because that's clearly the joke.
Sorry about that.
Naga pulls a piece, like a gun, which apparently is a reused prop from Bokenger. Echidna pulls a piece, but Naga sees it, and then he, like, controls her somehow, because I guess that's part of his ability.
That should go on that same thread on Reddit.
And then he, like, has her put the gun to her head, like she's gonna summon her own persona.
Is that a power that he has now?
Like, he has the ability to paralyze people, but maybe being tinted into darkness, like, enhanced it so he can actually control people?
Is it like Kilgrave?
I don't know who that is.
Oh,
the villain from Jessica Jones. Yeah. His power is that his words control people.
Okay.
So if he tells you to jump off a bridge, you have to do it. Also, he used it to force women to have sex with him. Move on.
So Heavy Metal pulls out the Black Hole Kutama and uses it on them, and Lucky is somehow able to fucking parry a black hole. That's the image he has for.
Oh, dear sweet
God.
Oh,
my God. Who put that up? We gotta say his name.
It's Noble.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
I got one more challenge. Somehow Photoshop her into a picture with the X8 cast.
Anthony.
Like, just put her head on it.
I know this is a lot to ask, but you'll have to pull this and whatever other
That's
images
beautiful.
From the studio audience chat on Discord.
I'm saving it.
Oh, my God.
I know. Now you have to suffer through Pilly Polio.
Oh, my God.
The plan is that they looked like they were dead, but they shrank and immediately flew right up Naga's nose.
Yeah.
And went into his bloodstream.
They had a fantastic...
They were just swimming in there.
Yeah, and I'm just like, okay, I understand that balance doesn't need to breathe, but I'm like, dude, Lucky, you're swimming around in a fucking blood, you know, like a fucking bloodstream. You might wanna...
An oxygen pack?
Yeah.
Or, you know, avoid...
Or like one of those little Jedi things they put in their mouths.
Yeah. So
well, that's Pilly Poplio.
Yeah.
So when they get inside of Dark Naga, they find microscopic Endeavors, which are apparently just all that's Akiamba's effect.
I'm sorry.
When she unleashes people's emotions, it's just tiny little fucking Endeavors inside their brains.
And it looks like a bad Japanese hentai video.
Well, the background is just like, let's... You know what the brains of these
like,
of these
we need all the
like?
Saran wrap you
plastic
have.
Plastic bags! So,
like, plastic, like, bags filled with, like, construction foam. Or whatever the...
That's what a brain looks like.
What the fuck is it called? I can't think of it.
The pink...
Insulation! It's
yeah,
like...
Insulation
that is, like, came out of the box, but not out of the wrapping. And they built the whole set out of that.
It was like a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah, from like the 80s.
Yeah, like an old Doctor Who.
And I like how the effect of the Microscopium Cutama apparently stays in effect even after they've both untransformed.
Oh god, what if it did?
Suddenly,
all of a sudden, like, Hammy's talking to him and his head fucking explodes?
Suddenly Naga grows giant human-shaped tumors and then his head explodes.
Yeah.
Oh no!
That actually is kind of like I'm genuinely thinking about it right now. It's really upsetting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we meet the motherfucking Daikon of the Naga Ray District, because fuck you, Micro Tsuyoi Endeavor. Oh my god, you brilliant fucks! And like he summons a version of Dark Naga, and like there's evidence for and against. Whether it's actually a separate branch of Dark Naga's consciousness or just a clone created by Micro. Because, like, Dark Naga on the outside is not conscious of anything that's happening inside.
He's just being kind of emo, like, ugh, stuff's going on in my
head.
Headache,
but, like, then when he gets defeated, regular Naga absorbs him like a fucking Digimon.
Yeah.
So, it's not really clear if the Dark Naga they're fighting inside is actually part of the real one.
Nega Naga.
Nega. But yeah, apparently the dark version of Naga was pretty ready to, like, kill himself, in a manner of speaking. Kill his true heart, his good version. And it's really unclear whether that would have, like, straight up self-destructed the entire shebang.
Wouldn't it have just made it so that he was, like, the only personality left?
I think that's what we were meant to assume.
I hope somebody's actually putting the chick from Lazy Town's head on an X8 thing. I'll lose my shit.
Oh, there's the meme that Blaze is working on. You activated my trap card, then a shot of Ryuki, Mirror Force. Her, I get it.
I didn't watch Ryuki.
I'll tell you what I tell everyone who asks. Ryuki is fun while you're watching, but all four of its endings are wildly unsatisfying.
Can be worth. The cover I think is the worst ending is double. Like I remember watching, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I won't get into that.
Commit to something.
So, good Naga scythe clashes with heavy metal, and then they defeat him, and then real Naga literally and unironically and he cries out Lucky and Balance. I get that was supposed to be, like, symbolic of, like, him developing true sadness or true emotion. And here's another Pilly Polio. I don't know what that is or who
know.
That is.
Pilly Polio is the new thing. I'm never going to...
Pilly Polio.
I'm so glad that you brought that to our attention.
I've given... It's a gift that I've given to the Commodore
community. Honestly, it might be better than Goo Gone
Circus. Oh, it's from Roll Paul's Drag Race.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Honestly, it might be better than Goo Gone Circus.
Yeah. Pilly Polio.
So they all start fighting in the forest, which apparently it looks like the same forest where Zangetsu fought Eden in the Zangetsu Gaiden. And for some reason, Balance, like, melees the monster with the crossbow, which is kind of dumb.
Yeah, like, what does he think he is, in Gaim?
And then
he just said it was the forest, right?
Yeah, yeah. So yes.
When in Gaim, or when in Helheim.
When in Helheim. And then Heavy Sky Silver does something fucking groundbreaking. He keeps his evil form as an actual super form, minus the redness and the evil eye.
Can you click on the picture, Chris?
It's a picture of the... It's the X8 cast, but with Stephanie from...
No. Billy Polio.
Over Poppy's face. God damn it!
So Billy Polio is just Poppy's body with...
It wouldn't be a visit from Savage Caster without Savage Caster derailing the podcast for something stupid.
Savagely.
Yep.
But yes, so Heavy Sky's...
Are you kidding me? Billy Polio is amazing.
Yeah.
So Heavy Sky Silver gets to keep the dark and black Hulk Utamas for a true evil, less evil, purified super form.
He gets like a badass scarf.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised. I'm not sure if that's ever been a thing before in Sentai, and if Gar were here, he'd be able to confirm.
I'm just looking at Chris's notes, and I can't... I a little bit of spoilers, but I'm just seeing the words, from the two dick swords.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, it's the happy splash.
Happy splash.
Yeah, I can't believe
I completely forgot that they did that, because, like, they do it again,
that
and I'm
like...
That
was the one note that I wrote down was,
happy,
what the heck was that?
Happy ending.
No.
Here's a question. Why are they able to use Cutamagen when Sho, Lanpo, and Champ are not around?
Plot reasons.
Not plot reasons. Fucking Megazord battle reasons. So, whatever. They destroy Micro. Oh, there was this one gag where, like, Micro, like, activates his, like, Daikon pass and grows giant, but his version of giant is normal size. That was a great joke.
I like that they look up.
Yeah.
Like, they're expecting it.
Like, they hear, like, it go off, and like, where's a giant monster?
They look down, he's just like...
Oh, wait. And he's still proud, like, yeah, I'm giant now!
I'm a giant micro creature.
Promptly gets shoved off screen by Akianva. They defeat the mon... Yeah, so he spawns a giant version of Heavy Sky Metal, but it's got, like, a black undersuit and a black neck scarf for some reason.
So, like, Chinese knockoff.
Yeah, bootleg Heavy Sky Metal.
It's the official bootleg.
Yeah. So they destroy it, whatever, it doesn't matter. And then Echidna decides to fuck off without stabbing Naga. I'm kind of surprised that...
Seen the power of your emotions, and that's fine. And I think she just realized, wait a minute, this guy's kind of in the middle of saving the universe. I kind of want the universe to be saved.
You shouldn't fuck with that.
I will kill you.
Yeah.
I will kill you later.
You watch. I'm putting it down. I want Echidna to just show up at the end of the show and just fucking gut shot Naga the same way Lucky and Sento have been these last couple weeks. But yeah, so Naga, apparently while he was under their control, knows where this version of Don Armage is. But apparently the Orion will not fly again. So that'll be the plot of next week's episode, along with appliances attacking.
It's G-Force?
And Tsurugi singing. That was weird.
Still know that watch.
Maybe he's part. Maybe he's part of Comrade Build's band.
Ooh, maybe that would be a neat crossover episode.
Yeah, like they both are singing.
Yeah, Sento was in a band with Tsurugi.
In a band with another person.
I like that. I never would have thought of that.
That would be funny. Gonna put together like a weird band.
So before we start talking about Cho Superhero Tyson, let's update the Q-Ranger Yosha Lucky count, which, as you can see, I've actually been keeping every week.
Chris, you have way too much time in your hands. But I gotta ask, are you guys tuning in for Chris's facts or for me to derail things with memes?
I like both.
I like this. I like that we can offer a nice variety.
Yeah. If I were here every week, nothing would get done.
So, episode 31 had 3 Yosha Luckies in it, and Cho Superhero Tyson had 7, which means our count is now up to 242. That's how many times Yosha Lucky has been said, not counting flashbacks and recaps.
What about when he says his name, like, hey, I'm lucky?
No, it has to be the words Yosha Lucky.
Oh, okay. What are they saying? He likes the memes.
He likes memetic facts.
Yep. I got a couple of meme moments that I thought.
Memes?
Memes.
Memes.
Yeah.
Memes?
So I'm walking...
Neither of those sound good.
That's pretty cool. I'm walking downtown, and this is ad for The Good Doctor, and I keep thinking, like that should be from X-Aid, but it's like Hero looking at the other two, and he's the good doctor. And then there was one, and it was the ad. It was for some kind of book thing, and it was like, this weekend, hit the pause button. And I wish that, you know, you ever, I wish I got a picture of it.
I think you talked about that already.
Yeah. Oh, did I? No, I talked about it in the bonus thing.
Oh, okay. Sure, you can mention it again.
Yeah. Oh, memes.
All right, feature topic.
Featured topic.
This time we're talking about Sea Shit. Cho Superhero Tyson.
Yeah.
Which anyone... Well,
before we start, I got another... Can somebody get a picture of the Kamen Rider Liangle crying for Chris?
It's pronounced Langle.
Langle crying, because Chris loves that guy, and there's this shot where he's, like, all depressed.
I like the rider, but I hate Mutsuki.
Okay, now let's get back to it.
So, Cho Superhero Tyson, the movie with the most redundant name, because Cho means super, so this is literally Super Superhero Tyson.
I think they're running out of names to put, you know, like, Superhero Tyson.
That's why the next one is Final.
Until they, you know, they're gonna make more of those.
No, they will. This is just the last Heisei one.
It'd be like Return of the Superhero.
It's just
Tyson.
Like with Pretty Cure All Stars, and then they're like, they're not making any more, and then no, now it's called New Stage.
Hakugin, New Stage.
Yeah.
So the movie starts in Seoul, South Korea, which promptly gets destroyed by a giant Zevius mothership. And now,
are you kidding me?
Fucking her head on the washing Voyager.
Oh.
I mean, hey, anyone...
Polio Voyager!
Anyone listening to the recorded version who's confused, you should have tuned in Friday night on Discord.
No, basically it's a bunch of pictures of Stephanie from Lazy Town's head.
With her head on Poppy and now the washi Voyager.
Yeah, on various things, with the joke being that she's a bootleg Poppy.
Yeah.
Who is named Polio.
Alright, anyway.
Yes!
I love the video games were attacking and everyone's screaming around. One guy has this fucking drink in his hand.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, he's got this cup, like he's running, but he's like, fuck, I gotta hold on to this. I got free refills.
It's the same as Margaritaville pterodactyl guy from Jurassic World.
Yeah. There was also one other kid who like was also drinking a thing and he was like staring at the camera as his family member is dragging him away in terror.
He's like, man, I'm going to be on fucking TV, man.
Korea's just psyched to be in a Rider movie.
Yep.
So, unless the Q-Rangers came through some sort of dimensional portal between the start of this movie and beforehand, this movie has to be non-canon because this is clearly not the Jark Matter version of reality for several reasons, but they're all obvious. Thanks, Dopey Dragon, for joining us. Basically, the Q-Rangers are sent out to fight Zevius, and they fight them with Q-Reno. When they do their first Hisatsu attack, for some reason, Lucky's movements are out of sync with the rest of them. That bugged me. But then they straight up, like, they do, like, an all-star break or whatever, and the sword grows giant, and I'm just like, okay, we're just gonna straight up Shinken Gokaio this bitch, I see! But that doesn't work, so they fire another attack, which is an arrow, but then it gets clashed with Zevius' mothership's lasers. But before that can finish making its way to Q-Reno, it just, like, fades to black and the logo comes up. That was kind of an odd directorial choice.
Chris, you need to click on that in the channel there. That's... That's some legit... Chris, can you grab that and just Facebook it to me real quick?
I honestly, it took a second to realize what was wrong.
Oh, it's even transparent.
Oh my god. Who put that up? I need permission to put that as my cover photo on Facebook.
It's a shot of the three main X-Aid riders and fucking just Stephanie way shorter between them.
Pilly Polio.
God damn it.
I thought Pilly Polio was Stephanie's head on Polio's body.
Close enough. Like, that person literally put the title under.
Yep.
Anyways.
We're missing her companion, though.
So meanwhile, back at X-Aid Hospital, Amu from the Zoogers apparently wandered into their universe and gets put into the hospital for actual medical problems and gets operated on by Hero, who is totally okay with the fact that he's operating on a real-life cat girl.
They just scan her and X-ray.
Who has skeleton? Who has bone in her ears for some reason?
Ears have bones, just not like that.
Well, yeah.
There's no weird thing I can't ignore.
So while they're talking to her, the news report of Zevius destroying the world is like suddenly turned on and on the right channel and broadcast to them. Like, how
it's like logic.
It's like
move
that
on.
Thing. You know what always bothered me?
I'm
when
tired.
When somebody's like, you're watching a movie and somebody gets a call and like turn it to channel 5. And they turn it to channel 5.
It was that, but without the call to turn to channel 5.
And it's queued up. Like, the thing is, obviously, if they were watching it, stopped, made the phone call, they're at least a minute in.
It was queued like the Q Rangers.
Yep. I wrote a thing.
I am starting to run out of fucks to give tonight.
I actually wrote in a story, I had to do a cutaway where somebody turns to a radio station to hear this speech, and I actually added, they've been talking about this other thing, they're probably going to get to the point momentarily.
Oh, okay.
So when it cuts into what they're hearing, it's mid-sentence on a different thing, and they're like, and furthermore, about this thing!
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be that person who had it queued up. But anyway.
So according to Amu, the Zevius mothership, even though it like just appeared that we saw... Apparently, previously, the Zevius mothership destroyed Zealand. Now, I was about to question this, like, isn't Zealand in another dimension? But this is the non-Q-Ranger timeline, so Zealand is actually probably still fused with Hughland, which is what I refer to as
Hughland.
Earth. Remember, I spent all year calling normal Earth Hughland.
Yes.
Or Cleveland.
So, sure, Zevius could destroy Zealand if it had also appeared there, but we've only seen one copy of the Zevius mothership at any one time, so that didn't get explained.
Oh my god, look at that over there!
And now it's the fucking Paradox with Poppy movie.
Oh my god, they put Fornicus in it! Facebook that one to me too, please.
I found something pretty great. I'm gonna post on.
Oh my god, it's so good! Oh my god, this. I gotta fucking get Discord, man.
Yeah, you need to just tune into the show.
Shit, I don't watch the show unless I'm on it, dude.
Don't be lame.
Oh my god, I gave the fans like a really silly thing, and boy, did they deliver! Oh my god.
So Poppy takes over that broadcast and literally starts pouring out of the TV like it's the fucking Ringu. That was a little creepy.
Or there's a Pilly Poplio.
There's a shot of like Kureno landing in Japan, and like everyone in Japan starts shitting their pants and running, but our thoughts are like, this is Japan.
You know this.
Megazords are a thing every fucking week. Why are people surprised by this? So the Q-Rangers try to capture Poppy, but it's never explicitly stated where, from who, or why they get the idea in their heads that Poppy is the cause of Zevius appearing.
Also, like, the thing where they grab, it grabs their, like, oh, we're just gonna kind of pull on her a little bit. Okay, we immediately give up. And then, like, after a brief little fight, we've dropped this whole Poppy's at fault thread. Like,
yeah.
It just seemed like a really, like, you know how, like, in, like, crossovers for anything, it's like, let's give them a really stupid reason to fight, and then, you know, they team up.
Usually it's like the real villain will tell each of the teams that the other one is the bad guy, because that's what they did in Zuodra versus Ninja. But, like, that wasn't even the case here. What we're led to believe is that Balance, who A, somehow knows of Poppy's existence, B, somehow knows that what Zevius is, even though he's not from Earth, pieced together in his head that Poppy, being the video game person, probably caused Zevius to appear. So that raises a whole fleet of questions by itself.
Like, there could have been a quick throwaway line of, like, somebody's manipulating us, like, hinting to the Shocker guy that's gonna show up.
Even though the Shocker villains were all just copies from game
data.
Yeah,
no, but I mean, he could have been, like, manipulating them.
Like, the only person in the entire movie who's the closest to an actual villain was Eito. Because he programmed everyone in Superhero Tyson. I mean, that alone is evidence to prove that the movie's non-canon, because he knows enough about Rider and Sentai to program this whole fighting game. And let's just talk for a moment about how sad it is that instead of an actual Cho Superhero Tyson video game, we got a movie about the Cho Superhero Tyson video game.
That was a little strange, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the whole Poppy being the instigator thing is dropped like a hot potato. After a really quick fight.
I'm sorry, Chris. I'm having way too much fun with the chat. They all deserve, you know what you guys all deserve? A big Toblerone.
He's watching Neo Yoki.
You know what? Anyone who can Photoshop a big Toblerone to any writer thing, I will say your name really sexily in the channel. Yeah, I will say it like a $50 word.
If that's what you want.
Yeah. We're all sort. Do people interact with the chat as much usually, or is it just business?
Not quite this much, but we do whenever we glance over.
That's gonna be my thing now. Is gonna be interacting with the chat. Gonna be completely uneditable. I've just ruined your next. I've ruined your week, Chris.
At this point, I'm just kind of shocked that the Q Rangers know what video games are at all.
Yeah, it's true. I apologize. This has to stop. No, it does not. It should go on forever.
Thank you.
So,
you can't kill Polypoly.
Alright, so anyway.
I've lost my place.
You can't make
I'm sorry, that was my fault.
So, the characters from the Cho Superhero Tyson game data start spawning to fight Zevius, including Kyria, who's dead but still here to make a quick cameo because Toei knows we love him, but still won't release the figure arts!
Like, hey, I just want to get a little sweet, sweet residual money for showing up.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm still on retainer from Toei.
I was gonna say it's confusing why Eito would pit the heroes of Cho Super Tyson against Zevius, but I guess it was just to fuck with them because his only real goal is to destroy the real world by the end of the movie. Yeah. So it's just for the sake of getting them to the bonus stage where all the Shocker villains appear. But by that merit, if he had the ability to make the game characters appear, why didn't he just start by spawning Shocker characters and just skip the whole fucking farce?
He's the Game Master.
He is Dan, reborn unto us this day. Again. In a non-canon movie.
Dan gave up 99 lives for your sins.
97. He still has 2 lives.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Although in the true ending movie, I think he goes down to 1 life.
Some of those lives, he just, like, literally worked too hard.
Yeah. That was great. Oh, I've been loving that whole scene, the whole last arc.
That was pretty funny. He was pretty much carrying the comedic weight of that show.
But, so yeah, Kyria goes right to level 3 laser, which is exactly where Toei knows we want him. Although he didn't, like, activate Giri Chambra before putting it in the belt, so that kind of bugged me. But it was cool that, like, paired up with him, he had Shinken Blue, Mega Red, Boken Pink, Deno Gunform, and Zangetsu Shin, all bow and gun users, to fire up at the spaceships. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then out of nowhere, Galaxian enemies appear, but then True Brave shows up to just finish them off and claim the Galaxian gadget, solely for the purpose of handing it to real hero later. So that was kind of a contrived, roundabout way to introduce that. If you think about it, the fact that all the enemies here appeared from the Genmu handhelds, which I'm still calling the Genmu boys.
The Genmu boys, yeah.
And then, like, that one shot at the start of Exide Episode 1 where the Bugsters appear from the one that Emu has. Why hasn't the solution to this problem immediately been smash all the Genmu boys? The Bugsters keep coming through them!
It's like the whole Bugster thing was just a flaw in the Genmu boy.
So apparently the data for Cho Super Tyson...
I guess it would be a bug.
Apparently, Eito just, like, published the source code for Cho Superhero Tyson because Poppy's able to pull the game up in their cabinet.
Pirate Bay.
Yeah, maybe.
She torrented it.
Pirate Bay. I'm so tired of just making puns, I'm sorry.
So the logic is, the video games are attacking. Better use our video games, which we're assuming are safe to use, to beat the other violent video games. Amu volunteers to go into Tyson with Poppy, which is something that she's never done before. Like, Poppy's never taken an actual person into the games with them. I guess that's a thing she can do.
And she'll never do it again.
Unless she does it in the trilogy movies. So the actual world of Cho Super Tyson turns out to be a gloomy wasteland that looks like a level from Destiny. And there are statues of the number eights around, of the number eight around, because the kid's name is Eight-O.
They could have just made that eight a reference to 8-bit.
Oh, I didn't get that. Oh, you didn't get that?
No.
Yeah.
I didn't watch this, and I got that.
Eight-O. Oh, God. All right.
So, Poppy gets matrixed away while Zuo Tiger starts playing the tournament. First, she fights Stronger, kicks his ass, and then she fights Amazon, who she should be violently murdered against, but defeats him.
They had the no blood coat on.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was rated E for everyone. So
did anyone notice how shitty, like, bad condition the Stronger suit's looking?
Well, it's
like,
pretty old.
You know how sometimes the suits get those little creases in them?
Yeah.
Like, it was literally made of creases.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, and the thing is, like, it's like, we need a new one. It's like, yeah, but it's Stronger, though.
Oh, yeah, so Amu is actually not the one who defeats Amazon. She gets saved by Utsusamimaru, Uchi, from Kyoryuger, who for some reason is sporting the battery and changer from Kyoryuger Brave, even though he's not the one who uses them. Like, I think it was for the sake of promoting Kyoryuger Brave, but it also might have been a case of they didn't have the old one anymore. Who the fuck knows?
Maybe it's just because there's so many Brave things going on, they're like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if you used the Brave one?
That might be it, because there's also a very clear theme of he's only here because they use Brave as a transformation element, and the movie is about Brave and true Brave.
Yeah, and like they might not be able to get the Korean guy.
Just Brave, Brave, Brave!
That's a Brave name.
Get it!
Maybe it's because fuck you.
Yeah, that's what Blaze is saying.
Yeah.
Blaze, Brave! I'm tired. So Game Hero, who doesn't have an actual name, so we're just going to call him Game Hero. He's like, yeah, we'll help you fight Xavius, but you've got to play our game. Q Tournament Saga. So Emu is chosen as the red of his team, which at first I was like, bullshit, but we know from the trailers that he uses Geki Totsu robots, so I guess, sure, let's count that as the red. And because we're being all fucking coy with the rules, guess who gets to be pink? Deno, because Momo Taros!
I was just happy to see him.
I need to watch Deno, because I love these guys.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. So, Urutaros and Kintaros show up, like, just to poke their head and make a gag and get sent back into the real. But we don't see Ryutaros, which is really weird, because Deno Gunform was just shown earlier.
Maybe that voice actor wasn't available.
Yeah, I guess he was too busy doing Ratty Ranger, whatever the fuck, the Ranger podcast that he does.
He does a podcast?
Yeah. I just like that stopped on Spectre. Oh, that guy looks strong.
Yeah. And then Spectre wins against Out Ninja later. So yeah. I guess they regret that choice.
Yep.
Which he barely even has any agency in, because like random heroes just show up like they're trying to fight for their right to live.
Yeah, Eito has a really harsh thing going on.
So yeah, Yakumo shows up and just like basically claims the blue spot for himself, and he's got different hair than in the series, so it's really fucking weird to see him. And then I love it.
Yeah,
he's like,
joke, yeah.
Let's have my teacher, Magi Yellow, be our Yellow Ranger. And then, of course, because it's the same actor, we get Beatbuster instead.
I didn't get that the first time. Well, because I didn't know.
Yeah, so in Ninja, the Blue Ranger is actually, like, they're all ninjas, but the Blue Ranger is also an actual magician, like a mage,
yeah.
And his teacher is actual Magi Yellow from Magi Ranger.
Yeah.
But the joke is, the same actor who played Magi Yellow also played Beatbuster in Go Busters. So, because he's searching for Magi Yellow, the joke is he ends up with Beatbuster. And that's not the first joke they made about that, too.
Yeah.
If you watch the movie, the Go Buster related movies, where they start, transforming their Megazords with the power of the Gokaiser keys, Beatbuster pilots Magi King, and he's like, wow, this is nostalgic.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, holy shit, we got to keep moving.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. So, for some reason, Beatbuster knows who Zolda is, Kamen Rider Zolda, so they pick Kitaoka as their green.
Well, it probably has commercials. Like, have you been hurt in a Kamen Rider kick?
Yeah, I don't know.
Call this number.
Okay, that's actually pretty great.
Thank God there's a mirror in all the battlefields so Zolda can henshin. Momo does his catchphrases. His chime gives me PTSD because I used to use it as a ringtone for work. Zolda melees with his fucking gun like a scrub. For some reason, they're not fighting the same colors as them in that fight, but they do it later, so whatever. Then we get to see a quick shot of the Sentai All Red versus the Rider All Blue team, aka Who the Fuck Cares versus Everyone I Like. Deno Rod form, Wizard Water style, DN, Katak Rider form, and Oz Shouta combo. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you.
He was excited.
I was.
And they die.
And then Team X-Aid murders them off screen. Actually.
Yeah, that's not a joke. That really happens.
Balance and Naga remind us that they're thieves because they break into CR.
They just walk in. Like, who let Vicky Vale into the back?
The party don't start until they walk in. Sorry.
So apparently the story with Eito is that he had a problem with his heart and Hiro was his doctor. And Eito apparently did not consent to being operated on.
Yeah, a child cannot consent or not consent to being having surgery on him. It's the parents.
Two things. His actual response to him was the word E, which translates to fine, which I think is kind of an ambiguous answer, and it can be translated both ways.
It's like, I fucking died because I said the wrong fucking word.
Like, fine, yes, operate on me, or I'm fine, don't operate on me. Second point, we don't know, A, if he has parents, and B, where they are, if so. It could be that he's an orphan, and thus no one's around to consent for him.
Yeah, and no one's there to stop doctors from stealing his laptop.
Or laptops. But yes, Hiro...
I'm letting them drop on the ground in a completely non-dramatic...
Hiro steals the boy's laptop, and we get to see what Hiro's apartment looks like. Like, we're seeing this during a special crossover movie instead of during the show, or even during the Brave special. That's weird, but anyways... So Poppy says that she can't return Eito to the real world since he's become a game character. Except,
what about her?
Except that's what she did with Dan when she revived him in Proto Mighty Action X.
Maybe she didn't know how to do it yet.
Sure. Emu forces a Yubikiri pinky promise with Eito, which proceeds to, like...
Sentai seems to think those are legally fucking...
that...
It's like, oh man, I'm gonna kill that guy. Wait, no, I pinky promise.
Damn it, my pinky promise.
That was stupid.
That's ironclad.
That was borderline
man.
Offensive. Even in grade 6, I knew that was bullshit, man. Come on.
It's like somehow in Sentai world, like pinky promises hold up in court.
So we skip through the tournament bracket, and the final is versus Team Genmu, which features Genmu level 10 or X, probably 10, because he doesn't have the immortality. Yellow Owl, Kamen Rider Ryugen, Momo Ranger, and Kamen Rider Spectre. A couple of which I was really glad to see again.
Spectre.
Spectre and Michi. So of course we get Momo versus Momo, but she like butt bumps him and like pretends to be hurt and then kicks him in the balls.
Yep.
Was actual Momo Ranger this much of a bitch? Wow. I really liked seeing Zolda fight Ryugen because it was an actual fucking gunfight. But sadly, Ryugen lost because the protag's got to win.
Oh, can we also bring up the fact that earlier Snipe went into a fight and
just
not
ran
pull out
around
his
with
oh, yeah, like everyone else pulls out their weapons when X-Aid's team fights the Q Rangers, but Snipe decided, fuck it, these guys aren't worth shooting.
So he just sort of gallivants around.
Them.
I'll slap them with my shoulder cape. So, I guess Genmu's immortality doesn't mean shit here, because Team X-Aid wins, and they get the powers of the Go Riders, who we've talked about the special that happens
oh
after
God,
this.
Oh, God, can we just skip talking about this? It's a fucking train wreck.
They're ugly, and one of them rides the Denliner.
It's...
It was Momotaros who did, wasn't it?
Yeah. They ride the Denliner, the Gokai Galleon, Castle Duran, Magi Dragon, and that one ship from Go Ranger whose name I don't care about.
And then they shocked everybody by kneeling while playing football.
Yeah, they did Go Rider Hurricane, which I get is a Go Ranger reference, but just because it's a reference doesn't make it not stupid.
It just makes me think of the Clover grand finale from Fresh Prince, honestly.
So they defeat Zevius by destroying the very exposed core that not one person who has fought Zevius up to this point
they
has thought to attack.
Weak point for massive
if you
damage.
Fly in,
yes.
Yeah, that's where Randy Quaid would attack them.
I don't get the reference.
It's from Independence Day when they fly in from the bottom of the big ship.
Oh, okay. Oh, according to Facecore, we did see his apartment in episode 10. If that is the same spot, I don't know. It doesn't look the same, but who knows. So, Cho Superhero Tyson kicks into its bonus stage, Cho Shocker Tyson, which was the true idea, to kick out all of the game data copies of various monsters from Sentai and Rider history. We're not going to mention all of them because there's a lot of them. Some of them are cooler than others, whatever. And he chimes out the line like, "We were defeated in the real world, but we survived in the game world." That's not the case. You were programmed by a brilliant but non-canon child genius programmer.
I love that descriptor, brilliant but non-canon.
Yeah. Like that negates his brilliance. And then this asshole shocker leader...
Reminds me of the stylish but illegal monkey found at IKEA.
And then this fucking pompous fucktard, the shocker leader, decides to steal Comrade Gaim's signature line.
It's my stage.
Orina stage da! Just like Gaim off screen. Hey!
I have that copyrighted.
So Pallad shows up to, I guess, play the game and not be concerned that the planet's basically fucked. So Snipe, Full Dragon, and Paradox Puzzle fight a bunch. That was cool. And Paradox goes Space Jam on them, as I correct my notes on that. So we get Emu talking to Game Hero, and we learn that Game Hero is sad because he couldn't return Eito to the real world, even though he was programmed by the kid who couldn't solve his own problem. So why would someone created by him have the ability to solve that problem? The logic in this movie is fucking stupid. And like, Game Hero spouts the spiel that Hero had about like not getting emotionally involved with your patients from episode 2. How the fuck did Eito know to program that? He wasn't around when Brave was saying that kind of shit.
Maybe he just says it all the time.
Yeah, maybe that's his thing.
Maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly.
Like, it's on his business cards. Like, you know, like,
I'll help you,
hero,
but I really don't
surgeon.
Care about you.
I really don't get involved with my patients.
Yeah, this is dating profile. We see a shot of Hero who has stolen one of Eito's laptops.
And drops it!
After getting buggled into the game world.
That's a term for getting assaulted by video games. You get buggled.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like nonchalant but also hilarious how like when he disappears into the game world, the laptop just like funks down
and
under
it's
the
like,
ground.
Laptop, no!
Shattered, deleted.
Hero got into Second Life. When do you have the time to write all this, Chris?
I'm
a man that writes for a living.
I literally spent my entire yesterday watching the movie and writing these notes.
Shit, man, you put in more. Now I almost feel bad for derailing the podcast for like half an hour.
I'm very dead. Well, you saw all those notes I wrote about episodes 1 to 3.
Yeah.
That was all. I wrote everything we've talked about, I wrote yesterday. So, Game Hero gives a "you cannot escape your feelings" speech. And then we get to see him henchin into True Brave Legacy Gamer level 50. And again, I have to bring up the fact that I'm confused why him using Title Legacy wields a level 50 form, whereas Brave using just Title Legacy yields a level 100 form. If he had used Title Quest and Title Legacy, it would have made sense because, like, it's a level 2 gadget with a level 50 gadget, and then maybe it's a multiplier. And also, there's no shown origin for Title Legacy, so we can assume that Eito programmed Game Hero with the Gamer Driver and Title Legacy. So if Eito was the one who programmed Title Legacy, that means Masamune stole the gadget from a child.
Yep.
Can I ask you a question?
Considering what he did with
at
Emu,
at what
not
point
that,
of Dan in his history do you think he would think twice of stealing from a child?
Well, not Dan, Masamune.
Yeah.
Because Masamune is the one who pulled Title Legacy out of nowhere.
Okay, what point of him would you think? That guy.
I'm not saying it's surprising. I'm just saying this is the answer we've come to.
Yeah, that man killed, like, deleted a girl's girlfriend right in front of him.
A girl's girlfriend?
Well, it's Hero. Don't assume his gender.
So, we get to see Uchi transform into Kyoryu Gold, And they even use the sound effects from Kyuriger Brave, because it says Gabu Gabu Rincho and Terra Voltan instead of Terra Gordon. But luckily the suit is the same, so it didn't make that much of a difference. And then we get the other bullshit scene of Exade fighting the Amazons trio.
All three
versus one. He only has 10 HP and they have 10,000 HP.
But he still whooped their asses.
Like, this game is actually fucking with him. And then it doesn't let him level up, so we don't get to see Mighty Brothers. Not that I was exactly hyped to see them, because those suits are, like, literally visually hurting my eyes. I was going to say, I guess he didn't have Maximum Mighty X, but we see him use it later. The Zoodgers, the rest of the Zoodgers show up to help Amu. We survived that unexplained danger that we were in, but
we're not
going
to take our suits off, so we don't have to pay more people.
Yeah. So Exade defeats the Amazons with a secret energy metal, the HP swap, which was created just for plot convenience. And then, like, Dark Drive, Dark Ghost, and Dark Kabuto show up, and
they never show you how that resolves.
Like, obviously he won, but that would have been a fight I'd like to see.
Like, I don't know about Dark Kabuto, but two of those fuckers are really fucking tough.
Well, Dark Kabuto was, like, the main villain in the last half of the show, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Or at least the last third. So then we get the scene where Naga learns to cry, because he pities Eito. And then Brave defeats True Brave by doing Critical Slash, even though he's thrown the sword off screen. That really bugs me. I just love how he activates the belt and then, like, jumps up through the ceiling, and then for, like, half a second you're like, okay, bye. And then he comes back down. That was great. Oh no, you've defeated me! Take all my Pokemon cards! So Hero severs the connection between the game world and the real world, bringing them all back to the real world. But it really... later on, he's like, oh, I left just enough connection for Eito to be able to escape. Fuck you, movie! It's bullshit. Zuo Tiger runs a POV gauntlet course that looks like it was inspired by Final Fantasy XV's hunt for the fucking Deadeye.
I think it's based on a good game.
Our Ninja steals Deno's catchphrase, but he pronounces it wrong, so he's like, Crymax!
Yeah.
Which is what the audience of this movie is doing.
That's when you watch a sad movie in IMAX.
Yeah.
So, the leader of Shocker summons Dark Matter through a portal, confirming that this is not the Gearranger timeline. Excuse me. Which then transforms into a Morai Mars Robo that is so giant that the Megazords don't even come up to its toe. I think this might be the biggest thing that Toei has ever produced, size-wise. We get a quick shot of Tusk saying hi while he's exploding and falling off a hill. And then Lucky uses...
They just jump off a cliff as soon as it explodes.
Lucky uses Futago Kyutama to spawn two versions of the Shishi Voyager so that they can use all the Voyagers in two versions of Kyureno. I get it, but fuck you. And then Brave uses the giant metal that he got from True Brave to turn Exade into a giant Megazord version of level 99. Like, that effect was cool, though. When he was transforming, you see, like, all these machine parts going, and I'm like, holy shit.
We have a little extra CG budget left over.
Blaze is saying that Cerberios is bigger. I think you're thinking of the Geth Moon, or whatever the fuck that thing is. Because, like, the two Ranger Voyagers attached to Cerberios, so it can't be that big. I think you're thinking of the Geth Star, whatever the fuck they call it. Oh, it grows? Okay, well, I'll wait till I see the movie, but as far as I've seen, that Shocker, Morai Mars, whatever the fuck it's called, is the biggest enemy Sentai and Rider have fought. So Exade jumps up towards its face with his mighty Action X blocks, which is the thing I didn't know level 99 could do, but alright. Brave throws out a bunch of Pokemon cards and summons Final Form Sentais and Riders, including Gokai Red, who doesn't need a Final Form, because fuck you.
Well, he called Ghost, so he's all set.
We see Brave go Galaxian Quest Gamer, where he shoots one beam, kills a field of enemies, and he's done.
There's nothing I can't use once to throw away.
Yeah. Exade space jams up into space, and the Orion ship bats him back down into the atmosphere like a fucking baseball. That ship shouldn't be able to do that! But whatever, they kill Shocker Leader 3, whatever. I don't know if he had an actual name. He just called himself Shocker Leader the 3rd. And then they're trying to get Ato to come out of the video game and accept reality. And Emu's logic for that scene is, you're bored of video games, right? Come into the real world. We can play video games. So his logic is, come fight me RL, scrub. So Ato comes out of it, but he's probably a bugster now.
Yeah, everyone's a fucking bugster by that point.
And I just love how there's a moment where, like, you know how Hiro has always been like, I don't accept you as a doctor, intern. Emu turns that around and uses that line on him in this movie, which I thought was fucking savage.
He's so sour about it,
too. Oh, yeah, which is great. And then apparently Game Hiro and Uchi survived inside of the Tyson data, so Ato has his little virtual pet friends. And then he says to Naga, he's like, oh, will we ever meet again? And Naga's like, yes, we will. Pinky promise.
Legally binding.
Proceed to go back to our own universe. That's pretty much the movie. The song in the ending is nice.
Wings of Dark, video game hero.
Yeah. Holy shit, this was a lot. Well, this was only an hour and a half for this episode, not counting the extra. But still, I have talked way too much today.
I haven't talked enough.
I am sorry if everyone probably thinks I've stolen the spotlight a lot, but there was a lot to get through. And this is the less experienced version side of the Cast Ranger crew.
Mm-hmm. I just, less experienced. I watched 31 episodes of Kaya Ranger in a week.
I watched all of Blade in a weekend.
So did I. At Christmas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
Cool.
Give me props. Yeah. I literally put the entire thing on my phone, and then my family had a huge fight. I was like, I'm just going to hide in here and watch Blade.
I watched Agito in a weekend, too.
I would have watched it. I somehow, while watching all of the Key Ranger, I watched the first 15 episodes of Agito.
Cool.
By the way, it's great.
Yeah. It's real fun good.
Yeah. But it is. I don't know. I'm going through a lot of stuff. Actually, I need the help.
The help.
I need the help of the people in the chat. Because okay. I need an opinion.
One last request before we go.
Well, this isn't even a picture. All right. So I am a big Kamen Rider guy, but I'm expanding my Super Sentai. I have caught up on Kyuranger. I'm actually right now finishing up Kyuriger.
Kyuriger.
Kyuriger. What should I watch next? Ninjer or Zuoger. Now keep in mind, I've already watched Tokyuger.
He's asking if he should watch Ninjer or Zuoger next.
Yeah, because I'm thinking
of our three listeners, we're hearing Zuoger more.
Yeah, I kind of like Zuoger. Also, Ninjer like looks like, you know, it's like a bunch of Boruto's dad.
Yeah, Ninjer wasn't super great.
But then again, that's what people said about Ghost, and I fucking loved it. Can I get some Ghost love?
I mean, that's true.
I actually been, like, my girlfriend is obsessed with Takoyaki now because of that show.
Alright, so, thank you guys for joining me on this week.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I gotta figure out how I'm getting home.
I'll drive you somewhere the way, at least.
If you drive me home, I will entertain you with tales of yore.
My voice is thrashed and my throat is sore.
Well, let me do the talk.
I suffer for everyone's entertainment, hopefully.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I... Don't... Lamugani. Oh, you mean grapefruit!
Yeah. I mean, he's good. He'll probably see the chat eventually. God. All right, so, everyone...
Dave doesn't know!
Shit, delete! So, everyone listening, thank you all. Make sure to check out the primary source of our hijinks, the hub site at castranger.podbean.com. Check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/rscastranger. If you want to join in on the hijinks that you've witnessed in this episode, you can check out our publicly available Discord. We record Friday nights, so if you can tune in to that, you get to be part of the hijinks. We also have several other chat rooms for all kinds of neat shit. We have t-shirts and all kinds of different merch available every week.
Wait, there's merch?
Yeah, we have merch. And funny enough, one of the only couple of emblems that we haven't yet released is Savage Caster.
Oh,
so
sweet.
To celebrate your return to the show, we will in fact release the Savage Caster emblem merchandise this week.
Oh shit, yeah. Buy that, people.
It's like that's the best sales pitch. Yeah, buy that thing.
The first 72 hours after it's put out, it is on sale, so it's the best time to grab it.
You know what we need to have of like a thing of?
Hmm?
We need to have a Pili Polio shirt.
You want to draw some fan art?
Yes, there are new drawings. There are new drawings coming. I swear, it's just school has been hammering me so much.
Pili, the takeaway of today is Pili. Oh God, that's awesome! It's a female ghost with
nice thighs.
Thigh cons.
Thigh cons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet dreams. Dream of Pili Polio.
So yeah, thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week. I'm gonna go die.
Thank you for watching.
Die Henshin!
Yeah, thank you for watching.
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird. Thanks very much.